The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well, a few orders of business, you know, before we get started. Firstly, extra credit to anybody here who normally attends the Saturday Mass and is here on Sunday. You guys get first prize. Let's go. All right. I proclaim that you get a big bowl of ice cream today as first prize for being here. So thank you so much. I know with the transition from two priests to one priest, it was the most painful thing to me for all of it to have to cancel the Saturday vigil here. And I want to reiterate my sincere apologies for that. I know it's just kind of how it is while we just have one priest, and I'm so thankful for your willingness to make a shift for now. It's a beautiful thing, so thank you for doing that. Second order of business, I'm very excited because I've already made my first executive decision as a pastor. Yes, this is a great idea. I have decided that we are all going to tattoo our names on our foreheads this week. So that way, we'll all get to know each other much better. Evidently, I'm sure you guys all know each other. And it was apparently supposed to happen when I was ordained a priest that I should have asked God for the grace to immediately remember everybody's names. And I did not ask for that grace. And I have been paying for it for the last 8 years. So I want you to know that I am very happy to meet you and to come to know you. As best I can, especially to know your names. I like to call people by their names, but it's something that I have to work at, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time because I'm going to just ask you a lot to remind me your name, and I'm probably going to ask you a lot, have we met each other yet? Because as you can imagine, there's a lot of you here and a lot that are at St. Robert's, and there's one of me. So you guys are the lucky ducks. You get just one name. I have a lot of names, so just thank you all ahead of time for just your warm welcome, and I'm so happy to be able to be here and to start a new chapter with you guys as the new pastor. So, all right, it strikes me that I feel a little bit akin to this TV show on the channel Lifetime, if any of you know of the Lifetime TV channel, and there's a reality TV show on that channel, and the premise of that show is people who are just desperate for love agree that on this show they're going to be wedded to each other on the very first date. And then they're going to find out whether or not it was a good decision after the fact, and the show follows storylines of these people. And I'm like, well, have any of you guys know the show? It's called Married at First Sight. Have any of you ever seen that one? Okay, me neither. No, I haven't. Not actually seen that show. I don't really watch much TV. But I know that it's a show that's out there because this is the kind of, you know, trash that's on reality TV. And I couldn't help but think to myself, man, we're like just on our first date today and we're kind of already married because you can't get rid of me anymore. So I hope you like me, but, oh, kidding aside, I want to speak at least a few minutes this morning on the gospel passage, which, of course, is filled with the words of one of the many familiar stories that we get, you know, from the life of Jesus. And Mark recounts how, as he grows up, he's becoming this new kind of man who begins to preach, do something very different than the craft he was taught as a carpenter. Comes back to his town, and we know it so well that, unfortunately, it's like one of these sad tales. And he goes back to his own community, his own people, and they kind of give him a lot of grief, and they're like, man, who do you think you are, man? Like, we know who you are. You're a carpenter. We know your father. We know your mother. It says in the gospel, we know your brothers and your sisters. In English, we get it translated that way. They spoke in a language called Aramaic. In Aramaic, there was no such word for cousin. And so when it's translated into English, it's translated brother or sister, but we know that those were the cousins of Jesus that were being named. But nonetheless, his immediate relatives and his extended family are like offended, and we're like, ah, that's really a bummer. You know, we have the benefit after the fact of reading these stories and of knowing for ourselves like why Jesus came to the earth. And Jesus came to the earth to do pretty much nothing but good things. He came with words that brought eternal life to people and reconciliation to people. And he brought healings, right? And he brought hope for people. And never did he have a single ounce of ill will in him. And he was unable. St. Mark says he was prevented from doing the mighty deeds that he came to do. Because they were his own people, right? His own family rejected who he was. And sort of, you know, we listen to a story like that and we think to ourselves, how sad. And maybe there are experiences like that on a community level that we've been through or that we've known of. And that's all well and good. But I want to suggest something further to us today as a way to maybe help bring this gospel more present to you and into your very life. Because on an immediate level, of course, it's a story of a bunch of people. But if we might take a step back and understand that this is also true, as it were, a story of each person's soul, it's going to hit a lot closer to home. Because I would imagine that this gospel passage has in fact come to pass in your life and in my life, maybe in a way that we don't always recognize. You know, as we come to know Christ, as we come to be disciples of Jesus, something that happens when we become a disciple of Jesus is that we change. When we become a disciple of Jesus, we change. We become people that we were not before. And that's an amazing change. It's an amazing transformation that occurs. And it happens day by day, week by week. And sometimes it's crazy, and it happens all of a sudden like St. Paul, and sometimes it's more gradual. But have you ever noticed that, for example, when you listen to the life of someone else out there, maybe you know them personally, maybe you just meet them in your congregation, maybe you were at a conference one time, or maybe you know like a famous person that has shared their personal story of conversion. And they might have this story of their own life, and they say, back in my day, when I was a younger man or when I was a younger woman, this is who I was, and this is how I behaved. And normally it's tales of woe and self-destruction and woundedness, right? Stories of great weakness and struggle in their life. And at a certain point they say, and then when Jesus came into my life, all of this began to change. And they begin to tell how that transformation took place and what it brought them to being now. And they look at you in the present moment and they say, that's the person that I was, and this is what happened in my life, and this is who Jesus made me. And we listen to stories like that, and I would say our instinct is probably to go, wow, that's really incredible. We probably feel joyful about a story like that. We probably feel thankful to God that he would do such a thing in someone's life. And we find it to be a moment of praise. But it's not always true that we have the same reaction when we look into our own lives and in our own selves and our own transformation. Transformation in life, discipleship with Jesus, can sometimes look wild, and sometimes can look gradual. But the truth is nonetheless there that if you want to follow Christ, you will become somebody that you are not. You and I will become more and more in the image of God. And we look upon our own transformation and we say to ourselves, this is the person that I used to be. And I'm still the same. I've always been me, but somehow I'm different than I was before. And this is where this gospel passage might actually be something that you experience on a very personal level. Because while we might have faith and gratitude to God for the changes of other people, it's very possible that we might look upon our own lives and our own past and our own transformation, not with love, but maybe with a certain amount of self-contempt or judgment. Like, for example, have you ever thought about something that you were earlier in life, or maybe a boneheaded thing that you did, you know, or a place where you really struggled, and you look on that person, and when you remember that moment, or when you remember that regret, you say to yourself, man, I was such an idiot. What the heck was I thinking? Man, I should have known better. And we look upon that person with a little bit of disgust or contempt, and we want to kind of just wish that we weren't that person. We're like, if only I hadn't done that, and if only I never would have hurt that person, or if I only wasn't that man or that woman. And I'm so glad for the person that I am today. Thanks be to God that I'm different now. But boy, do I wish I never knew that person. I struggle with that. There are still things in my own life. When I was like a younger man, I'm like, man, bro, what were you doing? And it's hard for me to look with mercy upon that man, that younger person. You know, when Jesus comes to us, he comes also to our household. And by that, I mean the household of your own soul, to his own community. And he looks around when he's with us in our relationship with ourselves. And he kind of gazes in wonder in regards to you and to me. What kind of relationship do I have to me? And what kind of relationship do I have to the transformation that goes through my life? And sometimes I might find that I look upon myself, you know, and St. Paul says in that second reading, you know, my weaknesses that I wish God would take away. And he doesn't. And St. Paul says, in Christ, I am able to even look at my weaknesses and glory in them because I know of how God has been strong in me. And how God's strength lifts me up from my own weakness. Because without the grace of Jesus, we're going to look upon our own weaknesses. And I don't mean physical weaknesses. I mean my own moral weaknesses. Our moral weaknesses. We're going to look at those not with the mercy of God, but with self-contempt. And why is that an issue? The reason that's an issue is because whether you and I know that we're doing it or not, maybe that's something that's just such a habit for us that we're just not even aware that it happens. But Jesus tells us truly, he says, here's what happens. When we look upon, I know who you were, I know who you grew up to be, don't pretend that you can change, or maybe I have changed and you should never have been that person. Whatever that struggle, whatever that gap is, Jesus says this, if we do not extend to our own lives and to our own transformation, that same kind of mercy that he extends to us, Jesus says, that actually prevents me from doing a mightier work, a mightier deed in your life, so that you can become even greater, even more like me. And we're like, whoa. And so that's something to think about. Sometimes it's a very hard thing to go down memory lane, right? But Jesus says that in our life of discipleship, we actually have to make this a kind of habit from time to time and to remind ourselves of the people that we were and what Jesus has converted us from and where we're moving to, and not only to be grateful for how God is transforming us, but to remind ourselves that we must have mercy on the things of our lives that we might see as weaknesses. Because if we don't, Jesus says to us, you know what I love? I love about you that you can look upon the lives of other people and find my glory in them and thank me for them. But I'm actually kind of shocked and amazed that you don't have the kind of mercy for yourself that you would have for others. Does that make sense? And so you see how this gospel very much applies to every single one of us, because we are going to continue to grow in Christ and change and be transformed. But we have to keep in mind that even as we transform, we can't look with judgment upon what we were changed from and what we were freed from. Because Jesus wants to remind us that I want to be the Lord of your life, of your past and your present and your future.